Welcome to this week's podcast from Church on the Rock. We hope that it will challenge and inspire you to be a more passionate follower of Jesus. For more information about Church on the Rock, visit us at cotrcalera.com.
What we're going to do, talking about marriage, I think that one of the things that I want to do today is I want to talk to you about the purpose of marriage and why marriage is important and why there's purpose to it. And the reason why this is important is because when we have purpose in something, it gives us a sense of understanding that there is value and importance in, you know, fighting, digging in, not fighting like as in like fighting each other, but fighting for, okay? that kind of thing. So there's no doubt that, you know, marriage is a wonderful thing, but you don't have to be married for very long to know that it can have some real challenges and can be a painful process. I think it was Groucho Marx that said that marriage is a wonderful institution, but who wants to live in an institution? You know, I think he was the other one that said that I was married by a judge and I should have asked for a jury. You know what I'm saying? You know, somebody should have helped me out. All right. I look at myself. I got married at 21, and I look back at the pictures of myself at 21, and I think, like, who in their right mind let me get married looking like that? Like, I didn't even know what I was doing, you know? And it's just true. Like, it's just a part of, it's a part of marriage. It is what it is. Generally, all couples fight, right? It is a part. You can't get away from it because married couples are two imperfect individuals joining together, and we all have our different ways that we were raised and different ideas and opinions and thoughts about things. And so, you know, I've even preached a sermon one year when we were doing a marriage, like all couples fight, but healthy couples fight fair. And you got to learn how to do that right. But it's just true. But generally, we don't have a problem pushing through difficult moments when we know that there's a purpose for pushing through. Like if you have a job and you're making money, you're trying to provide for your family, it's easy sometimes to push through uncomfortable moments at that job when you know, like, hey, there's a purpose to what I'm doing. You can endure a couple hours in a dentist chair if you know that the outcome is to remove a cavity that could create issues for you down the road. Like being in that dentist chair is not very comfortable and not exciting and not great. And a lot of us in here probably dread going to the dentist or even the doctor. But we do these things because we know that they're helpful for us and there's a purpose in what we're doing. All right. And so in these moments where understanding the purpose of marriage will help us navigate through the difficult times, all right? And the truth being known is that marriage as a whole is under assault in our country, regardless of, you know, how our society defines it or tries to say what it should be. It doesn't change the message that the Word of God talks to us about marriage and what the Word of God says about marriage. And so there's I think last week I referenced an old band back in the 90s or something. Today I'm going to do the same today. There was a band called Outkast. Any Outkast? Okay, so I don't even know that I know, honestly. I just know that this is one of their songs. The writer here in one of his songs called Miss Jackson, he writes the story. He says, "Me and your daughter got a special thing going on. You say it's puppy love. We say it's full grown. Hope that we feel this way forever. You can plan a pretty picnic, but you can't predict the weather." And so this particular phrase in this song is, this song in general is a song, it's a man's apology to a mother of a young girl he impregnated but no longer feels love for. So this guy, you got this girl pregnant, and he says, "Hey, I just don't love her anymore." And this is where the expression is, "You can plan a pretty picnic, but you can't predict the weather." And so what this guy is doing here, he's basically saying that, like, that he is a victim to his feelings, his emotions, whether or not he feels like he's in love or out of love, all these kinds of things. And so what's happening here is that this song encapsulates the problem in our society has in their understanding of what love is, what relationships is, what sex and marriage is. It's a problem that we see all throughout our culture. And it says, as long as I'm feeling it and it makes me happy, then I'm good. But if I'm not happy anymore, then maybe I need to make a change, because after all, doesn't God want me to be happy? Doesn't God want me to have a happy life? And the truth be known is that there's nothing in the Bible that says that God wants you to be happy. It is in the Bible that God wants you to be holy. And it is true that when the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God is in you, you should have joy. Okay? So you should have joy regardless of your circumstances. But there's nothing in the Bible that says that God's desire for you is that you're happy. That is an American culture of what we think God's purposes and plans are for us. Do you think the disciples were happy as they were being killed for their faith and stuff like that? No, okay? But they went through that because of their love for God and their commitment to God and how passionate they were for God. Now, I don't believe that God wants you to be miserable. But a lot of that has to do with our perspective and the way that we look at life and the way we see things. And so, who should we listen to in this world that we live in, that where marriage is kind of mucked up and muddied up and there's just so many different things? And so what we have to do is we have to look at God's word and what God has to say about it. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at some of that and kind of talk about a few things. So in Malachi 2, chapter 15, it says this. It says, God, not you, made marriage. His spirit inhabits even the smallest details of marriage. So guard the spirit of marriage within you. Okay, so here's the thing. God, not you, not society, not culture, God made marriage. Okay, God is the one that did it, and he inhabits even the smallest details of marriage. All right? He is intrinsically involved in the process of two people becoming one. So he says, guard the spirit of marriage within you. Now let's look at some words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 19. And this is the Message translation that we're going to read from. And I think it's just so good. Now, I understand that the Message translation is a paraphrase. All right, so it's not an interpretation word by word. Like, for example, in the King James and the New American Standard, you can get a lexicon, and every word will have a number associated with it that's connected to the Greek or Hebrew word, and then you can go look up the original word and its meaning, and you get a deeper understanding. The Message translation is a paraphrase, but the writer of the Message spent an extraordinary amount of time looking at the original language and the translations that we have to encapsulate the message and the intent and kind of communicate it and write it in a way that would be understandable to us in our culture. Okay? So it wasn't just like, oh, I'm just going to throw down a bunch of thoughts. It was really went through the original language to really kind of say it in a way that makes more sense in our culture. So listen to this, the way it's written here in Matthew chapter 19. One day the Pharisees were badgering him. Says, is it legal for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? For any reason. He answered, haven't you read in your Bible that the Creator originally made man and woman for each other, male and female? And because of this, a man leaves his father and mother and is firmly bounded to his wife, becoming one flesh. No longer two bodies, but one. Because God created this organic union of the two sexes, no one should desecrate his art by cutting them apart. They shot back in rebuttal. If that's so, why did Moses give instruction for divorce papers and divorce procedures? And Jesus said, Moses provided for divorce as a concession to your hard-heartedness, but it is not a part of God's original plan. I'm holding you to the original plan. And I'm holding you liable for adultery if you divorce your faithful wife and then marry someone else. I make an exception in the case where the spouse has committed adultery. And Jesus' disciples objected. Now listen, okay, here's Jesus talking about this. And now it's not the Pharisees questioning Jesus. Now it's the disciples like, wait a minute, hold on, Jesus. All right, these are the good guys. The Pharisees are bad guys. We already know that they're going to be giving Jesus a hard time. Now the disciples have stepped in. Now they're giving Jesus a hard time. And here's the disciples. If those are the terms of marriage, we're stuck. Why get married? Okay? What's going on here? All right? But Jesus said, now listen to this. Listen to the words of Jesus here. Not everyone is mature enough to live a married life. It requires a certain aptitude and grace. Marriage isn't for everyone. Some from birth seemingly never get married, give marriage a thought. Others never get asked or accepted. And some decide not to get married for kingdom reasons. But if you are capable of growing into the largeness of marriage, do it. Okay? All right, so marriage is not for, not everyone is mature enough to live a married life. Now, I don't know about you, why there's fighting is because we want something, we don't get it, and because we don't get what we want, we fight about it. Because I want my way, and I want you to see it my way, and I want it to be my way. And instead of there being aptitude and grace and compassion and an understanding, okay, we give into our fleshly tendencies. Well, these things happen for a reason, to expose the problems that we have. Listen, because what's in the well comes up in the bucket. Hello. Okay. All right. Mad wouldn't be coming up in the bucket if mad wasn't in you. Okay? Selfishness wouldn't be coming up in the bucket if selfishness wasn't in you. So what happens is in our relationship, it exposes a lot of our problems, and these problems are exposed so God can say, hey, you see that? We got to take care of that. We got to work on some of this right here. We got to work on some of this attitude. We got to work on some of this mad. We got to work on some of this anger. We got to work on some of this selfishness. We got to work on some of this stuff. Because God, listen, and that's how you grow and become better. There are, listen, I've been married now. Oh, goodness. Let me think, where am I at now right now? Let's see here. almost 25 years. I was going to say 15. I didn't want to short myself any, all right? Actually, it'll be 25 this year. Okay. So I was thinking 15. I was like, wait a minute, I don't think it's been 15. It's been longer than that. I got kids that are 20. So can't be 15 years. and look, I'm a different person today than I would be if I didn't get married, if I didn't have a wife who challenged me to see things that I don't always see, to help me, you know, live a way that I probably have to, and because what happens is that she can see things that I can't always see about myself, and I can see things about her that she can't always see about herself. And so we're there in that so that we can grow, okay, and multiply, all right? And so we're going to get into some of that a little bit more. Genesis chapter 1, let's look right here. This is the very beginning. In the very beginning, Genesis 1:26, it says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the sky, and over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." All right, so let's talk about this. So God created mankind in his own image. There's some translations that would say man, but the more accurate translation would say mankind. So God made male and female in God's image. All right? The male is not more in God's image than the female. And the female is not more in God's image than the male. They are equally created in the image of God. Now we are different, and those differences are still a part of the image of God. So if we try to be like, no, I want you to be like me, or men need to be like women, and women need to be like men, we are basically saying that I don't like the image of God in you. Because God made each man and woman in his image. And so we are intrinsically different for a reason, all right? And that is the image of God. And so then it tells us that God blessed them and he said them. Now this gets before the story of Adam and Eve, but we know that this was the commission to Adam and Eve, to man and woman, that he brought them together and he said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." So we see here that at the very beginning, God made a male and female. Both sexes were created in the image of God and are the expression of God's image. He put them together, be fruitful and multiply. This was more than just, this wasn't just a command to have babies. Okay? I mean, it was part of it. Okay? But it wasn't just about commanding them to have babies. It was about growth. It was about expansion. It was about increased impact and authority on the earth. This is what it was. Adam, all by himself, could not fulfill the command of God to be fruitful and multiply. He couldn't do it. Okay? It wasn't till Eve was created that multiplication became possible. Right? So the purpose of our marriage, of your marriage, is to bring multiplication into your life. All right? That's what the purpose of marriage is. Rob, you can go ahead and make your way up here. The purpose of your marriage is to bring multiplication. But the enemy would come into your life to bring division. God wants there to be multiplication. The enemy wants there to be division. Because if the enemy can divide you, he can keep you from the original purpose that God has for you to bring multiplication in your life. So the enemy is always going to challenge the authority and establishment of God. He's always going to come after it. He's going to, and this is the why marriage, even in our culture today, and it's, look, this is nothing new. What we're dealing with in our culture is really just the byproduct of living in a first world country where we have nothing better to do than to think of, you know, ways to do things differently. Some of these problems we deal with in our culture aren't in other cultures that aren't first world problems, that aren't first world countries, but it is what it is. But the enemy wants to come and he wants to pervert the original establishment of God. God established marriage to be between a man and a woman, to bring them together so that there can be multiplication. Remember the words of Jesus, so that you can grow in the largeness of it. So you can grow in the largeness of it. So you can grow in your impact, so that you can increase, so that all of these things that exist there is what we're talking about. All right? And it's, look, to truth be known, it's just as easy to be just like the disciples and to look at your mirror sometimes and be like, oh, I'm stuck. Right? You ever been there before? I mean, I'm stuck. And then you're like, darn it, I'm a Christian and I'm married. Now I'm stuck and I don't want to miss the rapture. And I got to live with this man and woman and I hate him. I hate her. But this is you know, about perception. It was about the perception of what God's word has to teach us and tell us. The disciples' perception was like, "What? Who can live like what you're talking about, Jesus? We're all going to be stuck. This is crazy. What are you talking about?" I mean, but Jesus was talking about having a perception that was different, because you see, the problem with the attitude that you're stuck is that that's your perception about the relationship, and your perception has to do with your vision, and the direction of your life is determined by your vision. We talked about that last week, having a vision for your life, that you will go in the direction that you see. This is the reason why the Bible says fix your eyes on Jesus, so that we move towards Jesus, so that our life is moving towards Jesus. And so in our relationship, if our perspective is that we are stuck and it's just, you know, then listen, then you're going to be gradually moving further down this rat hole of man, of misery and just despair and feeling like you'll never, all right? But what you have to do is you have to see things the way Jesus sees things. And he talks about how that God has brought this union together. Now, I know that you think, well, I just fell in love one day. Maybe it was. Maybe you feel like you tripped into it. Maybe you are just like Groucho Marx and you got married by a judge and said, I needed a jury. I didn't know that this is what it was going to be. But nevertheless, you are there. So you are in the middle of the covenant that God has established, this covenant relationship, where covenants are established for a reason, to say, to bring expansion. Contracts are made to shrink, right? So we go into contracts to shrink down responsibilities. Like, I'll do this if you do this. And I'll love you if you act like this. And I'll serve you. And I'll give you this only if you do this. That's what contracts do. And sometimes we look at a marriage like it's a contract. But marriages are covenants. They are covenants where in a covenant relationship, you say, all that I have is yours. Everything that I have, everything that I am is yours. I always would joke about Crystal is that, you know, what she has is hers and what I have is hers. Right? That's just a joke, but that's what a covenant relationship does. Is it says that everything that I have, it's not, and the Bible actually tells us this. We find it in 1 Corinthians, it talks about it. It says, your body is not your own, but you are each other's now. Because you're one, you're united into this union that God has established, and that God has been a part of every integral detail of all of this. And your marriage is going to be attacked, but your marriage is going to be attacked by an adversary because it's going to bring division and decrease your effectiveness. But when you listen to the words that God gave man and woman, he said, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to multiply. I want you to increase. I want you to fill the earth. And I want you to subdue it. The word subdue doesn't mean dominate. It means to have dominion. And it's not the same word. It really means to create order is what he's telling them to do. So men and women, we're partners in the purposes of God. From the very beginning, they were partners in the plans and purposes of God to bring increase into our world, into our culture, into our society. And what happened was is that sin entered into the world. And the next thing you have is you have the battle of the sexes. You have men trying to dominate women and women trying to manipulate men. And you have barrenness instead of fruitfulness and division instead of multiplication. And so when the enemy is at work in our relationship, these things take the place of God's purposes. And that's the reason why Jesus says it takes a certain aptitude and grace. It takes a certain aptitude and grace to be married. What does that mean? Aptitude is the natural or acquired ability to learn and understand something. So instead of me being like, no, I want you to think like me. I want you to believe like me. I want you to act like me. I want you to have the opinions that I have. It is the ability to learn from somebody else and understand somebody else. Now, I remember hearing this about, just about leadership. We're doing my leadership class tonight. It says that in every relationship, you always want to seek to understand before being understood. If you'll do that, you'll win with people. Seek to understand before being understood. And oftentimes we get it the other way around. We're like, no, I want you to understand me. No, seek to understand. And that's what aptitude is. It's to learn and understand. Grace, what is grace? Unconditional love towards someone that doesn't deserve it. That's what grace is. Man, listen, and God's given you a lot of grace. God's given you a lot of grace. And God gives us grace so that we can give grace in return. And if it's going to work right, we'll have to give a lot of grace. We'll have to give a lot of grace. Because none of us in here are perfect, and none of us are great, and all of us in here have our bad days and our bad moments, and we say things we shouldn't say, we do things we shouldn't do. Those things are going to happen because man is not perfect. We're not going to be perfect. And so Jesus says it takes a lot of grace to be married. You see, marriage is not supposed to be a power struggle. It's supposed to be a power union where God takes two people who see things very differently and uses them together to bring multiplication. That's what God wants to do. Will you stand to your feet this morning? There's a passage in God's Word. I want to read it to you real quick. It doesn't oftentimes seems like it really is applicable for marriage, but it is. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." I want you to keep that up there for a second. This passage right here was written in context to a couple parables that Jesus wrote about, you know, the lost sheep or the lost coin, the prodigal son. And so he says this right here, and most of the time we think the context of this is that he's talking about lost people, that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And he certainly did. But it wasn't just the lost. And if you look at and you understand the nuances of what he's saying in the original language, he says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So, what is he talking about? Well, at the fall of man, when man fell, when Adam and Eve sinned and rebelled against God, there was a lot of things that were lost. Number one, people got lost, right? People got lost. We got lost in our sin. We got lost in our rebellion. But there were a lot of other things that got lost in our culture. You know, man's relationship with women, women's relationship with men, man's relationship with God, our fruitfulness in the earth, and the way our man's relationship with animals and the things on this earth. All of these things were lost. And one of the things that we find that was also lost is just personal relationships and connection and the purpose that God had for men and women to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Because in sin, the enemy came, the god of this world, began to bring division and disunity and distraction. And God, that was lost in man. And God came back, Jesus came back to establish, reorder us, to bring us back into him, to fill us with his spirit so that we could have what God originally planned for us, the ability to unite together and to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, okay, to subdue it, to grow in our impact. The purpose of your marriage is to bring growth and multiplication in you, okay? There's going to be challenges. There's going to be difficult moments. Those things are going to happen because it just happens. But we have to have aptitude and grace in every situation, amen? If I could have some of our people come forward, some of our prayer people, it'd be great. And we're gonna pray here. And we're going to worship together just for a second this morning. But I just want to encourage you. Listen, can I just do this? Can I just have all the married people, will you just kind of like hold hands, put your arms around each other, do something like that? I want to pray for you real quick. Maybe if you're not married and you want to stretch out your hands to somebody near you, if you're in a relationship, it works the same way for you as well. I want to pray for you real quick. Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name, God, for every relationship here, for every marriage here. God, I know that the enemy would come to bring a division and distraction, but that you came so that you could bring increase into the life and multiplication. And so I bind every spirit of strife and disunity in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, that every plan and purpose that you have here would be established, and that, God, that you would give them an incredible vision to walk in the anointing and the multiplication that you have for them, so that they can be powerful and effective in their walk and their ability to be disciples in your kingdom. God, we love you. Come on, let's just worship together real quick. If you need prayer for anything, will you come and let one of our people pray for you? Maybe you're a couple and you want prayer. That's fine too. Maybe you're here and you just need God to touch you. You just allow God to do that. If not, let's just worship him together.
tell them